Okay, well, good morning. If anybody's tuning in this morning, good morning to you as well. Good morning, everybody here. Gladys is with us here in person this morning, which we really like. Today, we are going to be looking at another parable, of course, and this morning's parable is entitled Faithful Servants. Faithful Servants. And you will find it in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. So let's start off by reading this parable, and then we'll take it apart, see what it says. This is 35 now. This is Jesus speaking. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Did you get that? Those are important words there. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken in. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. These parables, I tell you, they're challenging. They're challenging. And if you just, I know this, I'm speaking to myself now. If you just do a casual reading through these things, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You know, these require study. And they require the help of the Holy Spirit to get it. Okay? So now, at this point in time, that this parable, that Jesus spoke these words, it was starting to become evident that Israel, as a nation, was starting to reject Christ as their Messiah. There was a turning point that was starting to have passed. And that was leading to the postponement of the millennial kingdom until his second advent. That was what was in progress right here when Jesus spoke these words. There was a change taking place. Now Christ was starting to begin to give instruction to his disciples on what the ministry would be committed to following his death on the cross. Christ gave much of this instruction to them who would carry on the message, but he spoke it in parables. In other words, up to this point, he had been preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was actually offering the literal, physical kingdom of God. Okay? But that is now changing. Now he's starting to speak about the new kingdom that's coming, the modified kingdom. The first kingdom he was offering was an actual, physical kingdom on earth where Christ himself would be down here on earth managing the affairs of mankind. That's what he was offering at first. But now that's changed. Now he's going to be offering a spiritual kingdom. And he's going to be absent. He's going to be absent. So in many ways, it's going to be much more difficult than him being here in person, isn't it? Right? Now, as a result of this swing, this change on his focus, that's generated questions from his followers. And they started to recognize that they would be commissioned as servants during his absence. We have responsibilities because the master is away and we are servants. What did Christ the Lord expect of them? Is now what the question is starting to arise at this period of time. If things are changing, what does he really expect of his servants? What were the characteristics of a true servant And what rewards could a true servant expect if he was faithful, especially, underline that, especially if the wait was long and the timing of the return was not known? Isn't that where we're at today? The long has been wait. What's it been, over 2,000 years now? And we don't know when he's coming back. The Word of God does not give us a clear date when he's coming back. So the master's away. And we as his servants are here now. So what are our responsibilities here? Now, in these verses that we just read, 35 to 40, the Lord gave his followers the characteristics of a faithful servant in this parable. Now, just as a point of refreshing, you guys have seen this before, I know, but I'm going to pass this around. This is a Bible time chart. Right here. This is a Bible time chart. Here is the crucifixion. I'm going to pass this, okay? Here's the crucifixion when it took place. What follows is the age of the church age. After that, the rapture occurs. Again, we don't know at what point in time. Followed by the seven-year tribulation period, where God is judging the world and drawing the nation of Israel to himself. Then Christ is going to return at the second coming, and he is going to bring in at that point what we refer to as the millennial kingdom. That's where he will make promises, make good his promises to the nation of Israel. He will be here in person, and he will rule on the earth, and he will bring it in. Okay, but in the meantime, we're back here in the church age. Somebody say something?
Is that 1,000 years?
That's 1,000 years. That is correct. So, Mr. Bill, if you could pass that around.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, we are in the age of the church. The master is away, and we are here to carry on his work on this during this kingdom. Now, what are the characteristics of faithful servant? This is going to be especially important when the wait is long and the return is not known, which I just mentioned. As he frequently did, we're talking about Jesus now, Jesus used the image of a wedding banquet to make his point. This isn't the first time he would do this. He's using the image of a wedding banquet to make his point. Wedding banquets were generally of an indeterminate length. You didn't know how long it was going to go. The banquet might only consist of a single meal if the person wasn't that rich, okay, if you didn't have a lot of bucks. However, if the host of the feast was a person of wealth, he was rich, okay, the feasting could encompass several meals,
yeah,
right, and go on for days, days, and it would be highly offensive if any one of the guests decided to leave early. You did not do that, okay? When it was having a wedding feast and you were invited, it was an honor, you would stick it out. And you might as well just have fun if you're there. You didn't leave early. Now, when the master of a household that had many servants, and if it went long, you knew he probably had a lot, okay, attended one of these meals, affairs, he would have been gone for an indeterminate length of time, okay? If a rich man had been invited to one of these wedding affairs, okay, and it went long, the people home, the servants that were at his house, would have no idea when he was coming back. Right? They wouldn't know because there was no idea. The feast wasn't set for like 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, so they would have no idea when he was going to return.
They didn't have cell phones.
Didn't have cell phones. Maybe they were blessed, huh?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Boy, you're not kidding. Because of the uncertainty, a servant might be inclined to neglect his normal responsibilities. Uh-oh. Can you imagine that?
Cats away, mice won't play.
You got it. Exactly. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Why, the cats away, the mice will play?
Oh, yeah.
Ah. So here's the wealthy master of the house. He's going on a trip to have fun, right? And here's the servants back home saying, oh, we're home alone. Aha, does anybody have the keys to the master's wine cabinet? Now, especially if the time was starting to draw out. So, you know, maybe if it was just one day, you know, they'd be afraid to do anything, you know. But now it's 2 or 3 days, so now they're starting to say, this looks like it's going to be a big affair, okay? Now, such a servant, if he decided to take advantage of the situation, would be definitely classified as faithless, okay? He would not be showing love and concern for his master. On the other hand, a faithful servant would diligently attend to his assigned duties regardless of how long his master was away and the uncertainty of his return. So if you were a good servant and your master was away, guess what? You would still be out there doing everything that you were supposed to be doing. You wouldn't be kicking up your feet and saying, oh man, this is fun. I love this, man. The master's not here. We haven't had a vacation in weeks. Let's enjoy this, right? But the faithful servants would say, guys, we still need to tend to things. You know, what's going to happen if the master comes back and finds all these things, these tasks not taken care of? So the faithful, you know, servant is going to be attentive to these things. Now, one of the servant's main responsibility would be tending the gate and making sure that he was there to open it for his returning master. Uh-oh. What happens if these guys are all sleeping off a drunk and the master comes home and the gate's locked? And sound the alarm should bad guys appear at the gate. Because in those days, most of the rich guys' houses had a wall around it. Oh, walls. Walls work, don't they? Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. And they would have one main entrance to get into the compound. Now, servants were given responsibility. Somebody, I'm sure, had a responsibility to watch the gate, to make sure it was closed when it was not being used, and then open it, you know, if they had somebody important, or like the master came back, to open up the gate. All right? Now, a servant without faith would count on a long delay and would leave the gate unattended. He wouldn't worry about it. Let somebody else worry about that, right? And may even take a little vacation at his master's expense. This is the unfaithful servant. Now, a faithful servant, however, would not be affected by a long, interminate delay and would diligently carry out all his duties, especially watching that gate until his master returned. Are you starting to see the application a little bit here to Christ being the master of the house who is leaving and you not knowing when he's coming back to take care of the duties that he has assigned us? So, what is the Lord teaching here? He knew that he was going to be away for a long, indeterminate period of time and that a faithful servant would keep on keeping on and not be affected by the master's absence and not knowing when he would return. That's what a faithful servant would do. That's what we're doing. Okay? We're being faithful to the Lord. Okay? We don't know when he's coming back. You just saw that chart, right? He's coming back, but when? We don't know. The longer to wait, the greater the faith of the caring servant, the longer the wait. Guys, your faith has been strong because it's been 2,000 years and you are still worshiping God like he was here yesterday. The longer to wait, the greater the faith. So it's been over 2,000 years and we all are still serving. And we are eagerly awaiting his reappearing. We don't know when the master of the house is going to come back. And when he does, if you looked at that timeline, a trumpet is going to sound in the sky. And in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be caught up into the heavens to be with him. We will be resurrected. We will get our resurrection bodies at that moment in time. And then if you look at that chart, for the next 7 years, we're going to be with him in heaven. And we will be judged according to our works, what we have done for the Lord during that period of time, and we will get our rewards. We will get our rewards in that period. And then, at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, we will come back to the earth with him when he judges the planet, finally, and begins his millennial reign. Okay? Turn with me, if you would, real quick, to 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, I think we're there. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Remember I talked about getting crowns? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but, ready for this? I got it underlined. But unto all them also that love his appearing. So he will be given out the crown of righteousness to all them that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing?
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, great. Great. Lord Jesus, come now, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Maranatha. So, some people might think that there would be no legitimate reason for a servant to neglect his assigned duties, right? Especially monitoring the gate for the return of the master of the house. Because that was so critical. Especially since it was not customary and even dangerous to travel at night. Oh, you think it's bad to walk around town at nighttime now? Back in those days, you just didn't go out at nighttime. Because there was thieves and all sorts of people out there waiting to hijack you. So it was very dangerous to travel at night. So these guys would have been even more inclined to figure, he ain't coming at nighttime. Nobody travels at nighttime. Even more reason they might do something. Now, evil loves the dark, does it not? Remember we talked about light revealing evil? Evil loves the dark and takes pleasure in the cover it provides to the human eye. You can't cover anything up from God. A slothful servant might therefore conclude that the master would not come before daylight, so he was free to sleep, relax, or do whatever he wanted while his master was away. However, the Lord obviously knew this and said that despite this, the servant should remain on duty and be found faithful. He said that the master could come in the second or the third watch of the night. That was in verse 38. What's he say here? And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. So if he finds you faithful at that point in time, you're blessed. Now, when it says the second watch, the third watch, the second watch was 3 hours before midnight. That was the second watch. And the third watch was 3 hours after midnight. So you're talking about early in the morning, okay? This, it was clear that the Lord did not allow for any excuses for unfaithfulness. He was saying, you don't have any excuses, guys. I can come at any time. You need to be found faithful. Remember, he's starting to give instruction now to his servants because the kingdom, the form of the kingdom has changed. No matter how reasonable the excuse might be, delay and duration were no excuse. So the duration of and the delay of the master is no excuse for a servant not being watchful and faithful. That's what he's saying. Turn with me, if you would, real quick to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, where are you? 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verses 8 and 9. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Well, actually, we're going to read a little bit more. We're going to start at 8 and 9. Okay, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Before I go on, let me just comment on that. He's basically saying that God is outside of time. Remember we talked about antinomies? God is not subject to time like we are. So he's saying that, you know, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Time doesn't mean anything. So we can't be down here saying it's been 2,000 years, so, you know, maybe he's not coming. Because to God, it's just been a blink of an eye. This is all according to his plan. Keep going here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some might count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he's delaying his return so that people can get saved. We just don't know when the last person that's going to be saved is, and he's going to eventually come. Okay? So he wants as many people to be saved as humanly possible. But the day, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, totally unexpected. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That actually takes place at the end of the millennial kingdom, after the great white throne judgment, when he creates the new heavens and new earth. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, knowing that this is coming, how are you supposed to be acting?
Obedient.
Right. Mm-hmm. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So he is going to purify this earth. All sign of sin will be purified. Think about it. We're just living on a big graveyard, aren't we? We are. All those fossils that are out there, that's dead things. Okay? We're living on a big cemetery. God is going to purify it. And the only way he's going to do it is to melt it. Totally burn up all signs of sin. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All right, back to our parable, Luke chapter 12. The Lord enlarged on his thinking here in verse 39 when he talked about a thief. The master of the house was not only the provider for the entire household, like all those servants were depending on him, were they not? Mm-hmm. Including all the servants that he was responsible for their protection. Not only was he providing shelter and food and clothes, you know, for them, but he was also providing for their protection. He had a responsibility to assign servants to stand guard at the gate to prevent the assault of bandits upon the residents. Most wealthy landowners of the day, as I mentioned earlier, had a walled enclosure with only one way in or out. The gate was generally the weakest link in the defenses, so it was important to keep it guarded. If the homeowner got advance warning that there would be an attack on the residents at a specific time, he would arrange for additional guards to be present to protect the household. Our master knows what's going on. If someone knew about the planned attack and did nothing to defend against it, he would be totally derelict in their duties and unfaithful. The Bible says so much about us being in a spiritual war, does it not? He has told us to put on the full armor of God because there is an attack going on right now as we speak. We are being attacked. Christ was driving home the importance of the responsibility that rested on the servants to safeguard that which has been entrusted in their care. God has entrusted us to share the good news with those around us. What greater treasure is there to protect than that? Christ was preparing his disciples for the time he was leaving them and the responsibility he was giving them in his absence until he returned. I don't know if they fully comprehended what he was talking about here. You know, I don't think they did because there's later scripture that implies they still weren't clear on what he was talking about. You know, that he was leaving them, that he had to go, and that he was turning over control to them. These parables were designed to instruct the disciples in faithfulness in the ministry he entrusted to them while he was away. We need to be the faithful servants that he's talking about here. The return of Christ was promised, but the time of his coming, again, is indeterminate. We don't know when. The followers of Christ are, therefore, to be faithful constantly, lest at his coming they be found unfaithful. And we do not want to be found unfaithful when the King of Kings sounds the trumpet in the sky. Yes, Carl.
evidently what you were saying on they didn't understand. Read the next verse after what you did read, and you'll find out. Peter had questions.
Yeah, verse 41 you're talking about?
Yeah.
Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? So you're right.
Let's have a clarification.
Yeah,
here.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I can't find fault with Peter because, you know, if you just read this the first time, you know, you might be saying to yourself, why is Jesus talking about a master being away at a wedding celebration and the servants being at home? You know, I mean, what's going on here? You know, especially when he had been talking about offering the literal physical kingdom, and now he's starting to change his thinking now to being a servant while he's away. So there's been a change now in his teaching in these parables, okay? And you'll see as we start working our way through these parables that his focus is changing. His focus is changing on the new kingdom, yes.
Was Peter the first disciple after Jesus ascended to preach the gospel?
Was he the
first disciple of the disciples?
Was he the first disciple of the disciples?
That preached the gospel after Jesus ascended.
On the day of Pentecost.
I think he might have been. Carl shaking his head. Yeah. Yep.
But just remember, don't focus on Peter's shortcomings.
Oh, right.
Because we all have them.
Amen. Yeah. Don't we?
Focus on the forgiveness of God.
Amen, brother. Yep. That is totally true. Yep. Just see yourself a little bit when you see Peter, right?
Yep. Or Thomas, right?
Or
anybody in the Bible that it brings out that makes mistakes.
Right. Right. And when we looked at the other parables,
blameless, though.
That's right. And when we looked at the other parables, you know, one of the first thoughts that should have come to mind when Jesus was talking about the righteousness that was required to enter into the kingdom, our first response should have been, I can't do these things. Right? I mean, how can I live the life that he's talking about here? Answer is, we can't. You know? That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need the Lord. Because we can't, in our fallen nature, do all those things. Because it's interesting. Technically, if you could live the way Christ was saying, you could enter into the kingdom of God. Right.
But you can't.
But you can't. That's the thing. So technically, if you could live a perfect life, you could enter into the kingdom of God.
And he knew that we couldn't.
Right.
He knew that.
And that's why he came to offer himself. Exactly right.
If we lived a perfect life, we wouldn't be here.
If we lived a perfect... Well, we certainly wouldn't be fallen, that's for sure. Have fallen natures that resist the Lord.
It's every day through his grace and mercy.
Right. Well, even this one. About being a faithful servant.
Yeah.
You know, if you're honest with yourself, you will admit that every day, you know, every minute, you're not being a faithful servant. Right? Are you?
I don't know.
Right? We have periods, like we go up and down on these things, you know? Sometimes it's a burden, you know, other times we do it with great joy, but, you know, even that, we're not being that faithful.
I just thank God he left us with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You get smacked in the face.
Amen. That is
that. Wake up, right?
No, that is an excellent point.
I mean, I know sometimes I'm doing something I shouldn't, and I say to myself, why am I doing this? This, you know, I should be doing something else, like my devotions, and I find this to do and that to do.
Yeah.
And I get behind.
Yeah.
But if I start my day the right way, it sort of goes a little better for me.
Yeah, but we fail even at being his faithful servants, don't we? You know? But that's why we need Jesus. I mean, you've got to keep falling back on that. Remember, he's the anchor. He's the rock. He's the solid foundation on which we are building, okay? But so many people, and it's getting to be more and more, are saying to themselves, boy, the master's away. I don't think he's ever coming back. So live, drink, and be merry. Right? More and more people are saying that. Sorry, guys, they are. You know, I don't know how many truly conservative churches are even left in this country right now. Yeah. How many are truly conservative churches or are really left in this country right now? So let's, I had some a bunch of verses here, but rather than going through them, let's just go to one verse here and conclude with this one. Turn with me to the last verse in the Bible here. Revelation chapter 22. Where are you?
At the back.
At the back. Yeah, unfortunately, my Bible doesn't end there. It still has another 100 pages. Revelation 22, verse 20. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Isn't it neat that he concluded Scripture with that? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Are you looking forward to him? Yep, yep. Are you looking forward to him coming? So we need to be attentive servants, understanding that he could come at any moment. We don't know when the master of the house is going to sound that trumpet, sound his arrival. You know, could happen before we finish right here. There's nothing else that needs to take place, you know, before he comes again. There's no other Bible prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. He can come anytime. It's called imminent. Imminent. Yep. So we may not get through to morning service, right? He may call us up. Neat thought, huh? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer, and we shall wrap up this parable for today. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, as with such joy that we can gather here in this house this day, a house that you have built not with hands but with spirit through each one of us, Lord, the Spirit of God, as Teresa said, the Holy Spirit has built your body of faithful believers who are faithfully carrying out your work on this planet while you are away, the master of the house. So we would pray that we would be faithful in carrying out your will during this period of time, and that we would be looking forward to your return so that the crown of righteousness may be given to each one of us, Lord, once we are taken up to be with you. And Lord, I truly believe that you will greet, if the rapture is still delayed past our lives, that you will greet each one of us, Lord, as we come into your presence. We just thank you for your love, for your care, for coming into this world, for leaving glory, entering your own creation that you had made for the purpose of dying on that cross, that through you we may have life everlasting. Thank you for a gift beyond measure, dear Jesus. So we thank you and praise you for all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, now we're going to be turning over this service to the main service, and there's going to be a short blackout period as we reset things. Take care.